Candace had the opportunity to sing the national anthem at the ball game yesterday and did a great job. And our boss, our district manager, he's like, he was really surprised. He said, "Man, she can sing." And I said, "I know." He's like, "You got her in the choir or something?" I'm like, "Of course." And he's like, "Wow, I'm really shocked." But John chapter 13, we're going to read a lot of scripture at the beginning of this. And so if I say a scripture verse, I'm sure you're not going to be able to get to it. And John chapter 13, beginning verse 31. The Bible says, "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So how now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.'" Let me read that last verse again. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. By this." Not our speech as far as the songs that we sing, and not our attendance to church, not our soul winning, not the way that we dress. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." John 15, if you turn over there. John chapter 15, verse 12. John 15, verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." It's interesting. What's the commandment then? We are God's friends if we do whatsoever he commanded you. And he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another." Let me read that. "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another." Romans 13, verse 8. "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. "For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Ephesians 4, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. 1 John 3, verse 11. For this is the message ye have heard from the beginning, that ye love one another, that we should love one another. 1 John 3, verse 23, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we all ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. 2 John chapter 2, verse 5, or chapter 1, verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lay thee not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which ye had from the beginning, that we love one another. Guess what we're preaching about tonight? Tithing. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's 19 passages. When I was preparing for this and I was writing down and I was researching and going through and finding all of the times that the Bible says to love one another, at first I thought, well, I'll just put in a couple. And I thought, no, let's do it all. I think God's trying to make a point. Somebody once said, if you read it one time, okay, it's nice. If you get it a second time, take note. If you got a third time, it's serious. So I wonder what 19 times would mean. I think that's pretty serious to God. That we love one another. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would meet with us tonight. Lord, this is a difficult topic to talk about. A lot of emotions. A lot of different things that we go through in our minds. And Lord, sometimes it brings up bad memories. Sometimes it brings up just different things where we may have something against each other or whatnot. But Lord, I pray that You would meet with us tonight. Lord, that we could get past all of that and learn to love each other. Lord, I pray that You would meet with us. If You're not here, Lord, this is going to just go over like a lead balloon. Lord, if You're in this, though, that You could do something great here at our church service tonight. And that's what we're looking for. Lord, I pray that You would meet with us in Your name. Amen. I don't know if I'm going to use it or not, but I'm going to take it out. Just because. To love one another. There are some people that are easy to love. It's just the way it is. We find ourselves connecting with different people that are easy to connect with. That you get people, two guys that like to hunt. Boy, this is getting a little feedback, isn't it? Might be because of that. But Brother Napper, he loves to hunt. There's no question about it, right? Boy, he likes going out for that bear. Going off a different hunting. Sawyer, you like to hunt, right, buddy? Go with your dad. Go scouting and all that. And so when Brandon gets around somebody that likes to hunt, and he just says, you know, they start to talk just a little bit, and they start talking hunting equipment, and some people may not like this, but you know what, that's okay. There's things that you like that some people scratch your head at and think, what? But you know, they start talking, and they'll start talking hunting equipment, and they'll start talking about what rifle do you use, and what type of camo do you have, and what scent do you use, and you know, is there any good locations that you've been going? What are some tips that you use, you know, and different things like that, caliber and grain, a bullet, and you can really get into all that conversation. And once you hear that, boy, you just got to perk up, and someone say, hey, This is good. This is going to be good. And we start building that connection and that bond, and then next thing you know, there's a friendship that emerges from it. I remember when we first came to Heritage Baptist Church, we sat in the second row right there. I was sitting in the front, and Pastor Shear looked and said, "Do you boys like to fish?" And I said, "Oh, absolutely." When I was 5 years old, I went fishing for the first time. This is not a fish story. This is truth. Okay? You can ask my dad. He'll attest to it. Okay, I was 5 years old. My dad got my line, and I understand now having kids that taking them out fishing. Once they get to that age, I'm done fishing. You know, it's just working with them to get them in. And my dad got my line all set up, and he cast it out there, and we're in Delaware. And he was getting my brother and my sister's stuff put in. And before he got his line on, I'm yelling, Dad, I got one, I got one. And he's thinking, yeah, okay, you know, five-year-old, you know. And he looks, and I'm actually holding this pole at the tip of the water. And he grabs the pole and reels in, and we got a nice catfish. That day, I caught 5 catfish. Everybody else caught nothing. And I was hooked ever since. That preacher said, "Boy, you guys like to go fishing." And I'm like, "Yeah, let's go fishing." And we've gone ice fishing with him and fishing up at the lake and all sorts of other places. And I like to fish. And the second he said that, I'm like, okay, we're going to have a good time here at church because I like this. But you meet people that you get a connection with, and you get a bond, and next thing you know, you get a kindred heart. You know, and you find that common ground, and you think, boy, this is a good friendship. How many have had somebody that's like that? That, you know what, they're not necessarily blood related, but they just feel like family. And they're easy to love. Hey, somebody that's like that, where you've got that strong bond with them, when they do something wrong against you, it's easy to forgive them. Why? Because you look past all of that stuff, and you see this bond that you have with them, and you think, this thing isn't big enough to ruin the relationship that we have. And so I'm willing to forgive that. I'm willing to look past that flaw. I'm willing to say, it's okay that you did this. It's all right. We're moving on beyond that. You're too good of a friend to lose. Somebody else could come along and do the exact same thing. And we hold a grudge for years. Because there's no bond that's there. There's no connection that's there. The only connection is that we attend church with them. And that's it. The one thing that could separate us from the world is our love towards others. We know that we're supposed to love the lost and have a desire to see the lost come to Jesus. And I'm not talking about that tonight. I think that the love that we have for each other should be stronger than the love that we have to reach the lost. And the reason behind that is a couple of reasons. Number one, if we do not have love towards the brethren, then the church cannot succeed. If the church does not succeed, then we cannot reach the lost. Because we have no church. If we continue to have struggles and there's problems with people that will not love each other and will not come together in one accord with one mind and say this is our purpose and our goal is to meet together and to get past all of these things, if we cannot do that, then sin is in the camp. And when sin is in the camp, God does not use the church. And eventually the church dwindles down to nothing. When you look at Achan and how he took the accursed thing at Jericho and he went and he hid it. And they went off to fight and they had a little bit of proudness to themselves and some pride and they went off and they charged off against Ai and they got whooped. And Joshua came back and he fell on his face and God said, hey, there's sin in the camp. Better get that taken care of. And they came and they found out by their process that they had, and Achan finally confessed to his sin. And unfortunately, because of the time frame that they were in, Achan and his family was put to death. They think, why his family? Well, because they were in on it. You ever gone camping before? You ever gone camping and you get your tent set up? Everybody's in that tent. Now, we've got the nice, you know, ground, it's nice in my opinion, but you know, when you get your tent, you get pretty much the tarp. They didn't have a tarp underneath where they're sleeping at, so it's just ground. And Achan came and he took that stuff and he dug a hole and he buried it. Now you tell me, what's going to happen if his wife walks in and looks at that ground and says, hey, what's going on here? What's that? It's pretty obvious. Kids walk in, hey, what's going on here? What's this? This isn't how I left the room. They knew about it. And so they unfortunately, Achan's sin cost his family. Now here's the thing with us too, is that when we sin, it has an effect on our family. When we sin, and it does not matter what type of sin it is, it has an effect on our family, on our kids. Boy, you read about David, and David took Bathsheba, and he was up on that rooftop, and he looked down, and he lusted after her, and said, I got to have her. And he asked who she was, and said, hey, go fetch her for me. And she comes up, and they have that sin that they did. And David, for 9 months, thought everything was good. And Nathan came in and pointed that finger and said, thou art the man. And everything changed at that point. When you read David's writings, his writings after that were never the same. His victories weren't the same after that. On top of that, his children, Amnon goes and rapes Tamar. Where do you think he got a notion like that? Well, Dad went and took a woman that he wanted and nothing happened with him. So I guess I could do the same thing. He lost a child that they conceived out of wedlock. Absalom kills Amnon. Absalom revolts against the kingdom and the lives that were lost in the battle between Absalom and David from the fighting. Then as Absalom is fleeing and gets his hair caught, and Joab, which is his uncle, comes over and throws those darts into his heart and kills him. And then after David dies, he loses another son who tries to take the throne from Solomon. Four kids gone because of one night with a woman. Our sin affects our family. It affects others. Boy, you look at, and I've talked about it before with David, and one of the people that helped Absalom was Ahithophel. Ahithophel was is connected in with Bathsheba. And he rises up against David. It doesn't just affect us. Boy, Jim, so good to see you tonight, brother. I saw you come in earlier, and I thought about it. But just continue to pray for him. Well, it's good to see you tonight. But our sin, you know, we think that we can do things and then we can just hold it into ourselves and it's not going to matter much because it's just me. But that's not true. It affects other people. David's sin affected the entire country. Not just his family. The entire country. And just the same, when we have sin in our church, it affects the entire church. Whether we realize it or not, it has a trickle effect that affects the entire church. And one person can hold it back. That's why God says 19 different passages over and over again, hey, love the brethren. Love the brothers. Yes, some people can be difficult. When I was growing up, my sister and I, it was difficult for us to love each other. I should say, we loved each other, we just didn't like each other that much as teenagers. She wanted to be in charge, and that wasn't going to happen. But I love her. And there are times when people can get underneath our skin. That's just simple. It happens. But I think God's trying to get us to love one another. We need to love each other because if we do not, our church cannot succeed. We call ourselves Montana's friendliest church. But are we? Seriously, think about it. I don't know of anything that's really going on, and you know, between people or whatnot. You know, preacher talks about the story of when he came to South Dakota, and he's got the family that sat over here, and the family that sat in the back, and the family that sat in the front would get up and would turn and look to the back, and they would not move until the family in the back left the building. Then they would get up and go because there were problems between the two of them. I don't know of any situations like that. As far as I know, we don't have any of that in our church. So this is preventative maintenance. See, if there is something going on, I don't know about it, so don't think that I'm preaching right at you. Maybe just think that the Holy Spirit's convicting you and you should get rid of it and right with God and move on. But we need to love each other. Are we really Montana's friendliest church? Oh, we had some visitors here today. I hope we got and talked with them. I hope we went out and introduced ourselves. I felt bad because that lady that was from Georgia, she snuck out before I got a chance to talk to her. She was out quick. I hope somebody was able to talk to her ahead of time. Why are we Montana's friendliest church? When people come in, the other family that was here that sat in the back, we're talking to them, and the wife said, hey, you know, we're probably going to go check out a few other churches. And I said, I understand that. I hope, though, when they go and look at them, that they come back and say, boy, that church was way friendlier. But if we don't love each other, it's going to show towards our visitors. If we do not have love for one another, people are going to walk in and they're going to feel the tension in the air and think, boy, something just isn't right. Do we love each other? Number one, for us to love each other, we must learn to forgive each other. We got to forgive. When you've been around as long as I have, around here at church, you understand that there are times when things have just happened and you make a mistake. Our pastor has said it, I am not perfect. As you know, there's been times where our pastor has let me down. Do you know there's been times I've let our pastor down? And I've had to go back to him and say, hey, I'm sorry. And there's been times where he came up to me and said, hey, I was wrong on this. I said, mm-hmm. And I said, I forgive you. And there are times where I had to come back and say, preacher boy, I'm sorry, man. I messed up. I was wrong. I dropped the ball in this area. You need to forgive me for this. After 28 years, it's bound to happen. And the more that you get around each other, the more times it's going to happen where something is going to happen and we're going to have to learn to forgive other people. The hard part is learning to forgive before they come back and apologize. That's the tough part. Because we'll sit there and we'll sit in our seat and we'll think, boy, that person did that to me, and what is wrong with them? How could somebody do that to me? I didn't deserve this. I didn't do this. Why would they act like that to me? Boy, I'm trying to help them out, and this is the help that I get. And what happens is that we get things and we build it up in our mind and we get ourselves fired up about it rather than just sitting back and saying, you know what? I don't know what's going on in their life. I don't know what difficulties they've had. Maybe something's going on. I need to just forgive them right away. Before they even come up and apologize, I'm just going to forgive them anyways. That's the toughest thing to do. Why? Because we'll sit there and there'll be times we'll come down to the altar and we'll say, okay, God, please help me to forgive this individual that has done this thing that has rubbed me wrong and I'm holding it against them. And we get things right and we go back to our seat and a couple of days later something happens and all of a sudden our memory remembers the thing that happened and all the feelings come rushing back and we get ourselves worked up all over again. And we have to sit there and say, God, I'm sorry, I need to forgive them again. And then I need to forgive them again. And I need to forgive them again. There are times not only do we need to forgive people that have wronged us, we also need to forgive ourselves for the decisions that we have done. And then move on. And move on. Preacher talked about the dead cat at camp. They kept digging it back up again and again and again and again. You know, there are times in our lives where we may wrong somebody and we beat ourselves up and think, boy, why'd I do this? Just move on. If you forgive yourself and then just move past it and say, okay, we're starting fresh again. Then at that point, you can move past it, but then you stir it back up again, and then you beat yourself up, and then you can't continue on, and God can't use you as greatly as He wants to, because you're too busy beating yourself up for something that God's already forgiven you for. So we like the song, What Sins Are You Talking About? But we have a tendency to do the same thing. We need to ask for forgiveness for ourselves, and then move on. God's buried it in the depths of the sea, so why should we revisit it? And then forgive others. The second thing that we need to do is the word forbear. To forbear. When I looked up the definition of forbear, Strong's says the meaning is basically to put up with each other. To put up with one another. To help each other up. Jonathan, when he went, and there's a story in the Old Testament where they were fighting against the Philistines. And the Israelites ran and they hid in the caves and they were out there and they were kind of banded together, but they were scared. The Philistines were big, they're bad, they're ugly, and they were coming to take over. And Jonathan turned to his armor bearer and he said, "Hey, there's a garrison that's up here. So let's go present ourselves to the garrison. So in a sense, we're going to step out from our hiding. And if the garrison says, 'Hey, wait right there, we're going to come to you,' then that means God is not in this fight. Let's get out of here. But if that we expose ourselves and they see where we're at next, and those people say, 'Hey, come up here, we want to show you a thing,' then that means that God is with us. And so they did. And the Philistines said, 'Hey, come up here, we want to show you a thing.' And Jonathan looked at his armor bearer and said, 'Let's go get him. God's in this fight.' Anybody know how they fought? What, Marcus?
They fought back to back.
Back to back. Back to back. I'll cover this side, you cover that side. Back to back. They covered each other. They helped each other. They protected each other so that nobody else could come in from behind and get them. And God brought the victory. That's forbearing. When we're looking out for each other. Question. Do you look out for one another? Do you kind of look around and see how people are and just have those eyes to try and be a blessing and a help to each other? Where we can see if something's wrong or something's off and go up to them and say, "Hey, how's it going? What's wrong? You seem a little down today. What's going on? What's on your mind?" Sometimes we're afraid to ask that question because we're afraid of what the answer may be. How long am I going to be sitting here listening to this story? But do we look out for each other? Are we looking to see, okay, what's going on? How can I be a blessing? Boy, there's the song in our songbook, "Make Me a Blessing." I think it's page 200. Yeah, page 200. "Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Tell the sweet story of Christ and His love. Tell of His power to forgive. Others will trust Him if only you prove true every moment you live. Give as was given to you, you in your need. Love as the Master had loved you. Be the helpless, be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true." Put that last line there. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. What? One of the things that you read in the New Testament, Jesus had eyes that was always looking. Who can I help? Blind Bartimaeus, as they're walking on the Jericho Road, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." He's busy, he's going, and all of a sudden, he stops and helps. One of the men came to him and said, "Hey, my daughter is sickened to death," and they're walking and they're going, and all of a sudden that woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, and the Bible says that she went to the physicians and they made it worse. And she suffered from them. Not only did they make it worse, but it was more, even more painful for her. And she reached out and grabbed that hem, and Jesus, as he was walking, felt the virtue that came out of him, and she was made pure at that point, and her issue of blood was gone. And Jesus stopped everything just to say, "Who touched me?" The disciples, "Well, look at the crowd. Boy, they're thronging. Everybody's touching you." He said, No. "Somebody touched me." He stopped just to show that love and compassion to the lady. He didn't have to. What was the point of it? She's already healed. By reaching out and grabbing just that back part of it, the Bible says that she knew inside of her that everything was done. Hey, she's healed. Why did Jesus stop then? He could have just kept on going and let her go on her merry way, but he stopped and talked to her and gave her comfort in knowing that, hey, it's okay that this happened. I'm here to help you. Jesus was always looking. The Bible talks about how he looked out under those people his heart just broke because he looked at them like a sheep without a shepherd. How he had compassion on them. He was always looking to help somebody. Sits down, woman who has 5 husbands, living with somebody else, wants to help her out. And throughout the Bible, you see story after story after story where Jesus is constantly looking to be a blessing to somebody. And unfortunately, we get blinders on our eyes. Barrel in. Barrel out of church. With speed in and speed out. And we don't take the time to just sit and talk with people and say, "Hey, how are things going with you?" Well, I felt bad today. I was talking with Mike Abo about his foot. I said, "Man, what happened?" And I remember hearing about it, but I hadn't really had the chance to talk to him. And he said, "Yeah, 2 weeks ago." I thought, 2 weeks? That's bad on my part that I've missed that for 2 weeks. That I haven't had the chance to talk to him and go up to him and talk to him about it. And I felt, man, what a dirty, rotten bum I am that I haven't talked to him for 2 weeks about this foot. But are we so busy that we're not taking the time to look around and to be a blessing to somebody else? We're too concerned about our problems and our situation and what we're going through that we cannot take time to look around and see what everybody else is going through and try to be a blessing to them. To forbear. Back to back. To lift each other up. To hold each other up when the other one's getting weak. To be there, to be a support for them. Because we don't have anybody else. When I look around, there's not many people here that have a lot of family to encourage them along the way. This is it. And we have to be there to encourage each other and to be there to be each other's strength. And lastly, we learn to forgive. We have to forbear. And then there's the compassion. Compassion is the feeling to help somebody. We're looking. Do we have compassion for those? Do we have compassion on others? Well, we harden ourselves. We harden our heart. We want to keep it soft for the lost. So we hear about always being out there ready to pass out a tract and invite somebody to church and to be conscious about that, be so conscious about the lost and be looking for opportunities that we can share the gospel with somebody else and have a soft heart. But do we have a soft heart towards others that are Christians? if we hardened our heart towards Him? Have we turned, here they are again, the same story. They're in the same situation they got themselves in last time. Why should I help them now? Compassion. We love one another. That is what separates us from the unsaved. Why would you go back and help that person again? They don't deserve it. You're right. They don't deserve my compassion. I don't deserve God's. But they have fooled you time and time again. Maybe so. I remember when preachers telling the story about people that came to the church and said, boy, we need money for this and that. And we're, okay. Well, our church helped them out. Next thing you know, they bought all brand new phones. How could you do that? Well, that's between them and God. My job is not to sit there and interrogate somebody with what they're going to do if I help them out. My job is to keep my heart tender so that I want to help others. If I sit there and I question, I'm telling you, I'm the worst. My wife, when we go to Walmart, you always see that person that's sitting out there with their sign that says, you know, need money for this or that, or I'm homeless or traveling, need gas money. And I look at them, and I've read so many different stories about professional bumps and different things like that, and I think, boy, I don't like to give towards them. Sometimes I get that mentality, if I give them cash, they're just going to go buy alcohol. Do they really need it? There's a guy that sits out Target, and I look at him, and I think, really, do you really need that? Look at how you're dressed. You're an older gentleman. And then I sit there, and I try to reason in my mind, you're probably getting Social Security. You're probably getting this or that. You should have some funds that are coming in. You should be okay. Why should I give up the money that I have to you? My wife, on the other hand, would drive up. Oh, dear. Do you have a dollar? Something we could give them? Every time, pretty much. I wish I could just give them something. Why? She has compassion towards them. Sometimes with Christians, towards other Christians, we want to interrogate them and question, do you really need our help? Do you really need this? Or, you know, and we sit there and interrogate them and we question their motives and we question why they're doing it. And then we sit there and we say, well, you know, they haven't even been faithful to church like they should be, and they shouldn't, they haven't done this. And we try to reason everything out rather than just having compassion. And our heart just hardens up just a little bit towards other Christians. Hey, can you help us out with moving this? Oh, I don't really want to do that. But when the Pruitts were getting ready to leave and they had to go and lay sod, you know, Lauren called up and I think Charlene got a hold of her and said, hey, can Rick come out and help just for a little bit? I'll be honest, I didn't want to do it. I went out there begrudgingly. And Tucker and Clyde are sitting there and they're working over there and they're talking. And I said, hey, guys, I'll go work over here. Why? Because I want to be by myself, because I didn't want to be there. I wanted to sit at home and just relax. But I did what I was going to do, and I said, all right, guys, I finished up my stuff. I'll see you later. Hey, do you want to eat? Nope, don't want to eat. Just want to work so I can get out of here. Why? Selfishness. I was being selfish. Pure and simple. And that's what stands in our way of having compassion towards others. We like people who will do things for us. Those that will be there to help us out when we need, and so those are the type that will help. It's hard when we need to love those who we know, odds are, when we're in that situation, they probably won't help us. But that's what compassion is. That's what compassion is. When we have that type of love, that's that charity that you give without expecting anything in return. No strings attached. That's when we love the brethren. That's when we love one another. When we can do it with no strings attached. No expectation of getting anything back in return. To love the, in a sense, the unlovable. Those that make it hard. Those that are going through struggles and difficulties, and we look back and say, well, it's your own fault. Sure it is. But that doesn't mean that they can't be loved through it. Just because they got themselves in that predicament, don't you think we should then be there to help them get out of that predicament? To love one another. 19 different times. The Bible talks about to love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would move in our hearts. Lord, I know I need to be better in this area. Lord, I know I need to have more compassion. I need to be looking for people and to see what needs that they have and to be there and to support them and to help them through their difficulties. Lord, I pray that you would give me eyes to see when people need and then to fulfill it. Lord, I pray that the members at Heritage Baptist Church could be known as a church that loves the brethren. That we have one goal and one focus, and that is to be in one accord and to love each other as you've loved us. Our heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. I know it's all church family. And just because you come forward does not automatically mean that there's a rift or something's going on. But do we love the brethren? Or is there something going on? Is there some animosity that we have towards somebody? Maybe even the pastor. Could be the assistant pastor. It's time for us to get our hearts right. It doesn't mean that you have to run up to somebody and say, hey, forgive me because I've been holding this against them. Maybe you need to, maybe you don't. I don't know. Most important thing is getting right with God, though. Do have compassion towards others. I ask everyone to stand to your feet. Nancy, go ahead and begin to play. If God's moving on your heart, working on it, boy, don't just respond. Don't wait. Do we love one another? Is there something that's been holding us back from really selling out in this area, an individual maybe, that just gets under our skin, that rubs us? Do we have compassion for each other? We're there to forbear for one another, to hold each other up, to put up with each other. And some people are easy to put up with. Some people make it difficult. Is it our selfishness that's holding us back? God wants to bless Heritage Baptist Church. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But how can he send visitors and new people to our church if we're not right with each other? How can our church grow and blossom and bloom for Christ if we're off with each other? It can't happen. We ought to get it cleaned up and get it ready for when God's ready to bless us. We ought to get the house cleaned. Do we love one another? Do we have compassion? Maybe there's some forgiveness that needs to take place. Some people, maybe some members of our church that have been gone for a bit, do we care enough about them to go and talk to them and encourage them to come back? Or are we just going to just figure, oh, that'll be, whatever. If my brother was off doing whatever, I would go to him and say, hey, what's going on? Why? Because I love him. Do we love each other? Do we love each other enough that we'll even have the difficult conversations with them? Say, hey, what's going on? Boy, we miss you. Why don't you come back? My brother stopped going to church years ago because when he was going to a larger church because he felt like nobody even cared about him. I wonder if we have members that feel that way. Well, it's no big deal if I don't come. Nobody really cares anyways. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Dearly Father, I pray that you'd be with us as we go our separate ways. Lord, I pray that you just move in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we be a church that loves one another. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us tonight. Pray that you go with us as we go our separate ways. Pray that you bring us back Wednesday night for our Bible time and just help us to enjoy just being Christians. Just think of all the blessings that you've given us. How you spoil us so rotten and how we're so undeserved. We thank you for that. Be with our church, be with our pastor, Lord, as he'll be returning this week on Friday. Give him safety in your name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.